let's move on. But I think it's actually kind of related to your idea.
So, I mean, yeah, so moving on segue to like a quasi-economic topic. This is not something I necessarily understand fully, but like zero sum, the idea of zero sum means that like if you play a game and it's a zero sum game, that's I think the expression mm-hmm. means that one of us has to lose. We can't both win. So, and they use it a lot for, it seems like economic stuff, right? Because it's like, oh, if you're a winner, then I'm a loser. Like, I can't sell you something without right. getting ripped off.
Or you could have a draw.
You could have a draw. Right, okay. So instead of having a draw, it's kind of like, well, no, we can't just draw. Right. I have to win.
Or if, like, you start with a pot that's value is 100. Right. One person gets 100, one person gets 0, or some split of that, but no way that the total value afterwards is more than 100 or less.
Right. So I guess the question I have, and this is kind of like an abstract question, but is like, is life a zero-sum game? And I was thinking more like, you know, especially when you relate like the continents and stuff like that, you know, and like there's been a lot of guilt and stuff made these days of like how the Western world is sort of abusing the Eastern world, or the, I don't know what you would call it, but the developing world mm-hmm. for resources, for labor, for land, for disposal, for pollution, for all this stuff, right? It's like we in the United States live a very, actually pretty posh life, you know? And it might be completely or partially at the expense of a lot of other people in developing nations, because they are, you know, financing us with their labor, with their lifestyles, with their standards of living, with their air quality or lack thereof, their water quality or lack thereof. Are we winning because they're losing?
Hmm. Well, I think that a lot of people would argue with that and say, we're not winning because they're losing. We're winning because of past people's labor here, and because of resources in general that were not exploited before. So like, you have oil in the land, right?
Right.
Underground. You bring that up and you use it, and basically you can create wealth that wasn't accessed before. The counter to that is, well, anytime you use a resource like that, you take it away from the general pool.
Yeah, you know? Not only that, but it's like, you know, we're creating all these byproducts of like petroleum, right. for example, and right. we have to throw that away. And if we had to throw that away in our own backyards, we might do something about it. But since we don't, somebody's like losing, right?
And well, I mean, the vast majority of I would say non-atmospheric pollution that we've done, I think, has probably been disposed of, you know, within a short distance of the United States. Whether it means we dig a big hole somewhere and dump it in Nevada, or whatever. It's like most of sort of the non-atmospheric waste that we create probably is more domestic than international.
Maybe. But I mean, like, what about, sure. I mean, I guess I wasn't really necessarily pitting like the one world versus the old.
Okay, so know, this is more of a hypothetical.
Yeah, just, I mean, just generally people in general. Like, yeah. I mean, and, but I mean, I was picking an example of, for example, like labor and mining and things like that. I mean, a lot of the like raw materials that we get nowadays and a lot of the things mm-hmm. are coming from other countries.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not this, and I don't know where things are disposed of, but I mean, I could see very near the future where we're starting to ship stuff away and ship it to other countries also and have them dispose of it. I mean, I don't, it might be that we dispose of it here, but it might be that we don't.
No, I mean, and well, a lot of things do get disposed of. I mean, in Bangladesh, have you heard about the shipyards, the
yeah.
ship-breaking
yeah.
yards and
yeah.
stuff like that,
yeah.
and all these toxic things that happen
right.
there?
Right, right. So, that, so yeah, that, I guess I was thinking that kind of stuff.
Yeah, okay, yeah. all right. That is true.
But like, for example, like I have an iPhone, you know, and you, I don't know if you've heard about, like I said, these factories in China
right.
where like these people are working in like pretty grueling conditions, you know, and there's like a really high rate of suicides and stuff like that. I mean, who knows where that's coming from? There's so many factors at play and what's the life worth, you mm-hmm. know, whatever. But, you know, am I reaping the benefits of, like, should this iPhone be $100 more than it really should, than it is now, so that these guys can have livable conditions and have not have to work so many hours a day, you know? And, like, am I benefiting from them basically living, you know, pretty terrible lives? And is that, does that play in a zero sum?
Yeah, I mean, well, I would say, like, the most basic sort of way of looking at the zero sum question is the conservation of matter and energy.
Okay.
You know, like take it back to physics and say matter is neither created nor destroyed. Or it, when you get to sort of the nuclear age, it's like, well, you can destroy it, but it becomes energy. And energy in a sun or something could become matter.
Okay.
You know, but you have a fixed quantity.
Yeah.
Of the universe.
You know, I mean, that's true. Just, you know. I mean, so that makes sense, right? So in that sense, the answer is simply yes. But part of me wonders, is that really, I mean, maybe that's how it actually plays out in practice, but does it have to be that way? Right? I mean, like, for example, if you look at a family or, like, you know, a friend group, right? Or, like, there's people who are lifted up by their communities, by their friend groups, you know, all that stuff. And it's like, well, you know, if you try to expand that to sort of a macro scale and make the world, you know, communist or whatever it is, you know, whatever you want to call it, where we all kind of are in it together, socialist, sort of like, you know, when I help your neighbor up, help your friends up, help your family up, help whatever up, so that we can all sort of like achieve our best.
Mm-hmm.
Is that sort of like a foolish notion, or is that does that sort of make it not zero sum, even if that happens on a small scale?
Well, I guess some people would argue that that it depends on what you're talking about in terms of your best, but in terms of like your economic potential, that would play into the zero sum thing, because if I am, say, I want, you know, I have a certain potential to achieve a certain amount of money if I'm all about doing it for myself.
Right.
But if I help other people, then maybe that potential that I have gets lowered.
Yeah, but I guess, you know, maybe it's just part of the, like, the rah-rah, you know, like, group think that I'm part of. But it's like, part of me thinks that, like, maybe you would reach 90% of your potential, but the people around you would be elevated by so much more just by you losing 10%. You know, and that would kind of almost feed back into you. And then you would gain that 10%, though you would gain it in other ways.
Yeah, well, and that's where it becomes really difficult to sort of, going back to these economic questions, like, how do you quantify these non-quantitative goods?
And part of me wants to know, like, could it be worse than zero-sum? If we were all so selfish, could it actually be worse?
Well, we could, I mean, on like sort of a human social level, we could make ourselves extinct.
Exactly.
And which is totally possible, but in that sort of macro conservation of matter and energy way, you know, the world would still exist. The world will go on without
us. Well, yeah. I mean, right? I guess when I say, is the world zero sum, I mean, is humankind, is the human existence, the human experience zero sum?
Then I would say no, because it all depends on what we know and what we, you know, how we understand the universe. So if we know more, like, we're all, like, say we're all kind of like cavemen, you know, and we're all just sort of hunting and gathering and whatever, and then somebody discovers, you know, how to make fire.
Right.
And he starts using dead wood that nobody was ever using before for anything to make fire, and all of a sudden the world is better for lots of people. Maybe not everybody, because he doesn't share the secret of fire with everybody. But
maybe he uses it to burn down villages.
Maybe he does that as well. But it does put a potential for plus or minus.
Yeah.
Within this human social sphere.
So I guess maybe the question is, like, I guess there's three questions maybe. One is, in practice, is life zero sum? Two is, like, ideally, is it zero sum? Like, could you achieve better?
Mm-hmm.
And at its worst, is it zero sum? As in, like, could we just cause ourselves to go extinct? I mean, the obvious answer to that one is yes, we could kill ourselves off.
We got enough bombs to blow up the planet
several times over.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
But, I mean, I guess, like, part of me wants to think that, you know, there is this potential to make life better for other people.
Yeah.
You know? And how do we do that?
Ah, you should go into politics. I think there definitely is a potential within this human sphere to create better lives for people.
Because it seems like left to its own devices, or at least left to not looking, it's like zero sum. It kind of seems like that. You know, I mean,
maybe, well, I don't understand what you mean by left to not
looking.
Like,
if you just kind of do what you want to do, not necessarily go out and, like, Hitler style, like, kill a bunch of people, mm-hmm. but just, like, you know, I want an iPhone, great, you know, or, like, I want to drive somewhere, great. You know, you don't really think about...
Right, the ecology of things.
Yeah, and ecology is the latest way of thinking about people, right? But, like, thinking about the people's feelings, thinking about your children, thinking about your neighbors,
well,
whatever,
ecology just means the interconnection between, like, organisms
and
the
environment. In that sense, then, yes, yeah. But you don't kind of, like, give consideration... active consideration, right? It's not just like, I don't care. If somebody's informed me, I don't care. It's like, no, I just don't care. You know, I'm whatever about it. You know? Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, maybe if you cared more, you know, and it's funny because, like, the more you care, sometimes you kind of, like, give yourself a head case, like, with all the guilt that you feel, right? But, I mean, you care a little more, and we all care a little more, and we all kind of, like, work together to make things better. Could we actually... not solve this, but at least give ourselves more advantage and make it less zero sum and actually, like, earn some interest for
give a positive.
Yeah.
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 Well, I think that, like, I would say that the, at least in the broad brushstroke American culture,
right,
the belief is that it's not a zero sum game and we get positive.
Yeah.
As time goes on. Net positive.
No, for sure.
That's part of my belief system as well, but I understand it in the context of this is all sort of within the human socio-economic sphere.
Right, and it's, I mean, that's part of the American narrative, I suppose, but, like, the problem is, like, if you take a step back and look globally...
Right, there's only so much energy coming into this planet from the sun, and that energy is zero sum. The amount of solar radiation coming in bounces back, and the amount of, you know, carbon that's underground, if we put it up into the atmosphere, that's the exact same amount of carbon. Like, there's no, you know, there's no plus or minus there, right? But I do believe that sort of in terms of greater human good, we can make our systems of understanding and using resources and that sort of thing more efficient and better for everybody at large, so you don't have just a bunch of people living in caves, you know, without fire and that sort of thing. Yeah,
well, that's where we might end up, but hopefully not.
But yeah, I mean, there's equally the possibility that we create this radiation wasteland.
Ice 9, right?
Yeah, Ice 9. That was a scary book to read. Which one was that?
Cat's Cradle.
Cat's Cradle. Kurt Vonnegut. Everybody, read a Vonnegut book when you're somewhere between the ages of 15 and 25.
Just write down a number of how much your life is worth before you read the book. And then see how that number changes.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know if we solved anything today, but I think we had a discussion.
Everybody, write in with your theories on these issues.
Yeah, you have three options, really. Yes, yeah. No, or maybe.
Yeah.
Very simple.
Or yes in some circumstances, no in others. Anyway, irregularsearchfortruth@gmail.com. My name's Scott.
And I'm Sachin.
Take care. Bye. Ein Stub. Tres años. Three men sitting on a saucy sofa. Tres amigos.